Welcome to Children of the 80s.
I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Jim.
And welcome back.
We're here for another episode.
I just made you stop. I deleted the audio and we started again because you didn't let me count down before we started.
I prematurely started.
Well, I'm sure that happens to children of the 80s. So, a couple of things. A couple of super important things.
Okay.
Some house cleaning notes.
House cleaning items.
First of all, I'm hoarse and scratchy, so I'm sorry. Second of all, is that a word? Over spring break, Emmy and I went to a Japanese grocery store, and I bought what the label, the only words in English on the label said that they were throat candies.
Throat candies.
And I have been like cherishing every one of these little square throat candies. And I finally used the last one. I feel like it was like a scene from Gremlins.
Are they like lozenges?
They're throat candies.
A scene from Gremlins, as in like these throat candies destroyed the whole town?
No, as in like it was, the place was a little dark and I went to like the back aisle and it was a little sketch. Mm. And I bought two packs of throat candies and they worked so well. And now I've used them up and now I'm hoarse and scratchy.
Well, at least you aren't over there creating bad inventions.
No. But I need to go back to the Japanese grocery
throat candy
store
place
and get more throat candies.
As long as we don't destroy the city.
Yeah, right.
By eating the throat candies right after midnight.
Right. So do you ever, when we go to bed at night, and do you ever wonder what I'm over on my side of the bed doing on my phone?
You're always on your phone. No, I crawl into bed, I roll over, and I fall asleep within 18 seconds.
Well, you know, they say that's what makes a happy marriage. One of you goes to sleep immediately, and the other lays in bed on their phone for hours.
Which is fine, except for when an ad pops up, and the devil comes screaming out of your phone and wakes me up and gets my heart rate up from about, a solid 47 beats per minute to about 190 beats per minute.
Which happened a couple of nights ago.
And then I get angry.
I was really trying to, I was fumbling and I was trying to close the window and turn my volume up for my alarm. And instead, I like did the opposite. And this ad comes blaring through my phone. And Jim comes shooting up out of bed like screaming. Anyways, back to my original thing. So the other night, while you were snoring so peacefully next to me, I was on eBay trying to find you a toy wrestler, one of those little figurines.
We already have the Hulkster somewhere, don't we?
Yeah, we've got the Hulkster. He's in the garage somewhere. I need to go find him and bring him in.
Are you talking about those big, tall, stiff rubber ones that wouldn't move? Oh, you're talking about the little ones that actually move.
Yeah. So I'm like, because you made some comment the other night about, oh, you wish that you had still had yours from your childhood.
Yes, but I had the stiff, tall rubber ones like the Hulkster outside. I didn't have the ones that move.
That's what I'm talking about. No, these don't really move.
Well, then they're not this tall like you were
making. I'm doing this with my hands.
No, they're much bigger than
that. I'm doing this, folks. Can you see it? Those suckers are expensive.
I bet they are.
Yeah, so there was one, it was like Iron Sheik, and I'm like, oh, $1. Okay, I bid on it, and I bid up to like, you know, $2.50. It sold for like $56.
Really?
Yes. So I tried.
Did it come with Gene Mean? If it was Iron Sheik, did it come with Gene Mean?
Did not come with Gene Mean.
Okay.
So I just want you to know I tried. Love of my life.
Speaking of that, we're going to be doing a wrestling episode soon.
Just us?
Yeah.
Or somebody else helping?
No, just us.
Okay, I'm ready.
Just us. I have an idea.
I speak wrestling.
I have an idea.
Oh, you do?
So, yeah. So, within the next month and a half, I would say either May or June, we will be releasing an episode about wrestling.
Okay. Well, sounds good to me.
So, obviously, this episode will be released on May 1st, May Day, which is also my parents' anniversary.
May Day, May Day,
so, happy anniversary to Mom and Dad if you haven't quit listening to us by now because we bore you.
How many years?
It will be 42 years.
Oh, wow.
42 years on May Day. I believe May Day's also.
And your dad just had a birthday.
He did. So he did. He moved into another decade.
Yeah.
Now. He is now.
Happy birthday, Paul.
In his 70s.
Well, you didn't have to tell everybody that.
Well, I mean, I'm in my 50s. It wouldn't take a genius to figure it out. I mean, I didn't want them to think that he had just hit the century mark.
Oh, okay. Go into your spiel.
All right. Thank you for joining us to our previous listeners. We're glad that you're back. And if you are a new listener, we want you to know that this is a podcast that looks back on the decade of the 1980s. That's if you're a new listener that's still with us after that opening. Who knows? You may not be there anymore. But we talk about all things that were important to us as children and what we look back on with fond memories as adults. Ultimately, this is a nostalgia podcast. And I don't know about you, but to me, there are very few things that bring back the feelings of nostalgia, like music. And today, we have another music episode for you. And want to tell them what we're talking about?
Yes. We are talking about the Australia invasion of the 80s.
Yes. So, growing up, my dad always talked about the British invasion of the 60s and how bands from the UK started hitting it big in the US, like the Beatles and the Stones and the Who and the Kinks and many, many, many others. Well, I remember as a kid, it seemed like there were a lot of bands from Australia that were just hitting it big, whether it be on MTV, the radio, whatever. And I realized that we had bands from Australia prior to that, right?
Like
we had the Bee Gees in the 60s and 70s and even early 80s. And then, but boy, like Men at Work seemed to always be on MTV when I was a kid. And Olivia Newton-John and Air Supply was real big when I was young. And so we're going to talk about these bands from Down Under for our listeners from Down Under.
Do we have a lot of Down Under listeners?
We have some. We don't. I wouldn't say we have a lot. I wouldn't say we have a plethora of Australian listeners, but we do have some Australian listeners. And so hopefully they will get a kick out of us talking about their homeland bands.
Well, I'm excited. Today. I think that some people, you know, our simple listeners like me, I'm simple. I'm not calling them simple, but
right.
I'm simple.
Right.
I don't overthink these things. We'll be surprised to hear that some people are from, some artists are from Australia.
Well, I remember you've just about flipped out when you heard Rick Springfield
yes.
on Working Class DJ start speaking in his Australian yes. accent because you were just blown away and couldn't believe it.
Yep.
Did you think that he was American?
Yes.
He starts talking in his Australian accent and you were just like blown away.
Yes. Yes. Rick Springfield does not sound like an Australian name to me.
Okay. What do you expect everybody to be named Crocodile something?
Yes, yes.
Or maybe his name should have been Rick Dundee.
I just did that just to see the look on your face.
He was Mick Dundee's brother. Mick and Rick.
So, yeah. So, yes, that did surprise me. I can't wait till we get to Rick Springfield, talk a little bit more about him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not where we're starting.
No, we're going to start. I don't know if we're going in alphabetical order the whole way, but we're definitely starting in alphabetical order, and we're going to start with a little band called Air Supply. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. I know you were right, believing for so long. I'm all out of love. What am I without you? I can't be too late to say that I was so.
So Air Supply is an Australian soft rock duo consisting of Russell and Russell.
Yes, very good.
Consisting of Graham Russell and Russell Hitchcock.
Is that like your Martin Short and Steve Martin? You
yes.
call them the Martins?
The Martins, yes, the Russells. Would you consider yourself an Air Supply fan?
So I was an Air Supply fan in the early 80s because... that was what I was kind of forced to listen to, right? They were on the radio a lot. 1980, 81, I didn't really have control over what I got to listen to until about late 82, 83, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I would say that I liked Air Supply. I've got a funny Air Supply song later on, but not funny song, a funny story.
Have you seen what Air Supply looks like now?
You mean they don't look like they did 40 years ago?
They look like Irma and Wilma, and they're going yard sailing on a Saturday morning with their cigarette and their cup of coffee.
Who is Irma and Wilma?
I don't know. I just made names up.
Don't they
look like Irma and Wilma?
They look old, but of course they should. It's been 40 years.
Let me tell you, though, a little bit what I know about Air Supply.
Okay.
From the movie in the mid-2000s, The Wedding Date with Deborah Messing, and she hires Man of the Night to go to her sister's wedding with her as her boyfriend.
Okay.
And they go stay, I think, in like the home she grew up in, and she was a big Air Supply fan. And so he starts singing Air Supply in the shower, and that's
what you think of?
That's what I think of. That's about where it starts and ends for me.
I don't think of that because I've never seen that movie.
A good movie.
It is not a movie that I've ever wanted to see, and it is not a movie that I ever will see.
We need to watch it.
I am drawing a line in the sand. I will not watch that movie. Air Supply.
You watch Footloose then?
No. Yeah, I would say I liked Air Supply. They were kind of like soft rock, but then they kind of... I know they had some songs produced by Jim Steinman, who also produced Meatloaf.
Yeah.
So it was also kind of like a soft rock slash hard rock opera type music.
Yeah.
So think Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler. That is a Jim Steinman produced song.
Well, and I will give Air Supply kudos. I will give the Russells kudos. They're real musicians.
The Russells.
Like, they can really sing. They can really perform. And I can appreciate that about them.
Oh, absolutely. No, they can absolutely sing. Even though
I'm not a huge fan.
They can absolutely sing. So, here were some of their songs in the early 80s. They had Even the Nights Are Better, Making Love Out of Nothing at All, The One That You Love, and of course the song that we had just played, All Out of Love. Those were the big ones that I remember. I actually like all of those songs. There are probably a couple more songs that I liked. I think in the early 90s, early to mid 90s, when I was able to start buying CDs on my own, I may have owned Air Supply's Greatest Hits at that point.
Oh, man. Okay.
You
know they may want your man card back.
I know. I figured you were going to give me trouble about that, but hey, I can't help it. Listen, they're known for their soft rock and adult contemporary sounds, characterized by gentle melodies, lush harmonies, and emotional lyrics.
Lush, emotional.
Yes. Mm. Gentle, lush, and emotional. Their lyrics are very emotional. And estrogen. Sometimes can be very powerful.
Estrogen.
No, not estrogen. Oh, my gosh. I guess you're not a big fan of Air Supply. If I played you their Greatest Hits, you wouldn't be happy.
No. So, let me give you a little bit of the deets on All Out of Love.
Okay.
So it was the fourth single released on their album, Lost in Love.
So stop. Before you keep going, I've heard a lot of love. Making Love Out of Nothing at All. All Out of Love. Lost in Love. You're all about love. How can you not like Air Supply?
I know, but I don't like corny love.
You think Air Supply is corny love?
Feels a little corny.
I'll tell you what. They know how to rock millions, according to one of their songs that I can't remember right now.
Okay, so it peaked at number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 chart,
mm-hmm.
Peaked at number 9 on their homeland chart, the Australian chart, reached number 11 on the U.K. chart. finished 1980 as the 55th biggest song in the U.S. and the 54th biggest song in Australia.
So it's pretty much the same kind of hit in both lands.
I can see that, and I think that that's about fair.
It peaked here higher, but for the year, it pretty much ended the same, so it probably lasted a little longer down under. But yeah, no, I mean, it's a good song.
It was certified gold in the U.S.
Yes.
So, ask me what you always ask me.
Is this your favorite Air Supply song?
Yes.
It is.
That's not saying much, but yes, it is.
Is that because you'd be so lost without me?
Let me say this. I have Lindsay's playlist on Spotify, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And this song is on there.
Is it really?
Yes. Remember a while back, we did two episodes where I picked the songs. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Okay. This was one of the songs I picked.
It was. You did pick All Out of Love.
So, yes, this is my favorite Air Supply song. One of my least favorite 80s, well, one of my least favorite songs of all time is also an Air Supply song.
Making Love Out of Nothing at All.
Even the Nights Are Better.
Now That We're Here Together.
I call that a Kroger song.
Yes, it is definitely a grocery store song.
When little Linz was having to like walk along behind, you know, her mom while she did her grocery shopping, Even the Nights Are Better was always playing on the sound system at Kroger.
So. Even the days are brighter.
Yeah.
When someone you love's beside you.
Mm-hmm. But they're still out there doing their thing, as the picture shows that I just pulled
Yes.
up.
Yes. I wonder if they still sound the same. It's tough to sound that good 40 years later.
It would be difficult.
Unless you're Don Henley.
Yeah.
One of a kind. All right. So time to move on from Air Supply to our next band. And it kind of makes, I don't want to say completely opposite, but
pretty much.
This band kind of rocks.
Pretty much. All you got is this moment. 21st century's yesterday. You can care all you want. Everybody does, yeah, that's okay, yeah. So slide over here and give me a moment. Your moves are so raw. I've got to let you know. I've got to let you know. You're one of my kind. Okay.
All right, so that was In Excess. That's our next band.
Is that your best DJ voice?
Yes. In Excess, Need You Tonight.
As much as I dislike Air Supply, I love In Excess that much.
In Excess was so cool. So they had such a different sound when they hit the airwaves here in the mid-80s that I was kind of blown away. And at first I was like I don't know if I like this because it was so different. But it didn't take long to me be like, this is awesome. And so In Excess was formed in 1977 in Sydney, Australia.
I was a little surprised to see that it was that early.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't know that.
Right, I didn't either. But the original members included Michael Hutchins on lead vocals, Andrew Ferris, who was the keyboards, guitar, and Tim Ferris, John Ferris, a lot of Ferrises, Ferris Bueller.
The Ferris Brothers.
Gary Beers.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. I think it's just Gary Beers. But anyway, the Ferris Brothers, yes, they did a lot of the writing. What did you think about their style?
So when I first heard In Excess, it caught me because it was unlike anything else I had ever heard up until that point.
Yes. I would say they're like a rock group, but also like with like dance music. So it was really kind of different because it was something that you could dance to.
Yeah, the beat was infectious. Beat,
mm-hmm. But then they kind of rocked. But then they also sounded a little bit like a new wave band too. Not like
that's
not,
the word.
Not completely new wave.
That's the word.
But yeah, so they were definitely a different a different sound from what I was used to being playing on the radio. But loved their album Kick in 1987, and that's what Need You Tonight was off of.
So they achieved global stardom in the mid-1980s and became one of Australia's most successful bands internationally.
Yes.
So lead singer Michael Hutchence was a charismatic frontman whose stage presence and vocal prowess contributed significantly to the band's success. You think that's fair?
I do. I do. Michael Hutchence had a great voice.
I would say, I mean, it was so distinctive.
Yes. Sadly, he died in 1997.
Yeah. So, but his INXS's music continues to be celebrated by fans and has left a lasting impact on the rock and pop music scenes.
So let me tell you a little something about INXS. After Michael Hutchence's death in 1997, obviously they didn't tour for a while. They didn't really make a whole lot of new music. And then in the early to mid 2000s, after American Idol started, they started their own reality show called Rockstar INXS. And it was awesome. They had people try out, just like American Idol, try out for their band. They would sing INXS songs. They would pick other songs out of other catalogs to be voted on, whether or not they were going to be booted off. You know, maybe the lowest two or lowest three would sing basically for their lives. And when they'd sing an INXS song. So INXS could see who they were. They even got to write lyrics to an Andrew Ferris penned song. Really cool stuff. J.D. Fortune ended up winning that. He wrote their last hit. I believe he wrote the lyrics to their last hit.
Oh, wow.
And it was the song on Rockstar INXS. That was a fantastic show. That was fun. Even my dad watched it. Like, even he was into it.
Wow, that says a lot.
So yeah, it was pretty cool stuff. But that song you listened to was Need You Tonight. It was released on their album Kick in 1987. It peaked at number one here in the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. It was also number one in Down Under. It was number two in the U.K. and two in Canada. Two in Ireland. And one in New Zealand. So to say this song was big would be an understatement. And it actually finished. So it finished 19. It was released in 87. It finished 87 as the 26th biggest song in Australia. But I guess it was released later in 87 here in the States. And so it hit the charts in 88. It was the second biggest song of 1988 here in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Right? So that's a big song. So what's your favorite INXS song? I know it's not Need You Tonight.
Never Tear Us Apart.
Yeah, I knew that's where you're going.
Never Tear Us Apart and then Beautiful Girl, close second.
Yeah, those are right up there for me, too.
Yeah.
Also like Devil Inside, because
that is a good one. That is a really good one. Yes. So I wouldn't say it's one of my faves, but it's a good one. Nothing can compete with Never Tear Us Apart.
Doom, 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 doom.
Yeah, I know, right? It's just a good song.
So we went from Air Supply, a soft rock, to INXS, a dance rock. I think we're going to keep up in the ante here, aren't we?
Yeah, let's take it up a step or two. You ready?
Let's hit the music.
Shook Me All Night Long, AC/DC.
Yes.
How does that not hurt his voice?
I don't know.
That hurts my voice.
It hurts your voice just hearing him, yes, or trying to sing along?
No, just hearing him. Okay, obviously, AC/DC, they are an Australian rock band known for their hard rock and blues rock sound. They were formed in Sydney, Australia in 1973. By brothers Malcolm and Angus Young.
Like, I have to know, what do you think about Angus Young and his funny little dances out there?
And his little outfit.
And his little outfit, his shorts and his...
Yeah.
And his suit,
tie. It makes me chuckle, and I don't understand it, And anything that I don't understand naturally makes me a little uncomfortable.
But you like uncomfortableness.
I do.
But not when it's you. It's when it's other
Correct. People. I like to make other people uncomfortable. I don't want to be uncomfortable.
So let's just say AC/DC just rocks.
They rock.
Like rocks.
They rock.
That's all I have. That's okay. All I,
moving right along.
No, gotta give the people what they want. Give them a little bit more information on AC/DC.
So AC/DC gained international fame in the late 70s and early 80s with albums like High Voltage, Highway to Hell, and Back in Black. The latter became one of the best-selling albums of all time and solidified AC/DC status as rock legends.
So the funny thing about Back in Black is that's the first album after Bon Scott, their original lead singer, had died, and Brian Johnson took over. And there wasn't, they didn't really miss a beat. I mean, sad to say, not to say that,
Bon Scott
wasn't missed.
Right.
But it's almost like they didn't really miss a beat. So, you know, some of their iconic songs, Highway to Hell, as you mentioned, Back in Black, which, you know, both of those are albums. Thunderstruck, which is what John Smoltz used to come out of the bullpen to down here, and that was
he'd
just
come running out.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And of course, You Shook Me All Night Long, TNT, Hell's Bells. You know, those are just some of their many, many hits. Back in Black is just one of the best albums of the 80s.
Yes. You're not going to see me arguing with you on that. And it's not my type of music, but I can appreciate it.
But let me ask you a question. If you hear an AC/DC song that you like, whether you're in the car or whether you're in the bathroom putting on your makeup or whatever, do you listen to it down real low?
No.
You got to crank it up, right?
Yes.
Yes, it's something that you just have to crank up.
So AC/DC's legacy includes multiple Grammy Awards, inductions into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Australian Recording Industry Association.
Yes.
So give me some info on You Shook Me All Night Long specifically. So
it was the first single released on the album Back in Black. You would have thought Back in Black would have been the first
single released,
but both of them have great guitar riffs. To me, they're two of the more iconic guitar riffs of the 80s. Back in Black and You Shook Me All Night Long, but it hit the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. It peaked at number 35.
That's all?
It's because it's almost a heavy metal, you know, hard rock song. So it's probably not getting a lot of pop play. But it hit number 8. It peaked at number 8 in Australia. Peaked at 38 in the U.K. It didn't chart on the year-end chart here in the U.S. It was the 42nd biggest song in Australia in 1980. It is actually certified platinum here in the U.S. Is this your favorite AC/DC song?
My favorite AC/DC song is Money Talks.
No way.
Yes.
You're lying.
No.
That's my favorite AC/DC
song. No.
Yes.
Do you want to go out and grab a drink after we're done here?
and that song's actually from the 90s. That song came out with the same album as Thunderstruck.
I don't remember that it's from the 90s, but
yeah, early 90s. But yeah, that is I thought that I was going to shock you when I said that my favorite AC/DC song is Money Talks.
No. So, okay, going now from AC/DC.
We're going to have to slow it down a little bit.
We're sorry, guys.
All right, so that song is called Man on Your Mind, and that is by a band called the Little River Band.
So, for some reason, when I ever hear anything about Little River Band, I picture them more like, you know, the Lynyrd Skynyrd of
the 80s. Lynyrd Skynyrd of Australia?
No, I forget that they're Australian.
They are indeed Australian.
Are you sure?
I am positive.
Okay. Okay.
So I like the Little River Band. They actually had hits in the 70s. It was a band that my dad listened to late 70s and early 80s, and this was kind of his style of music. And so it actually made me kind of like Little River Band. And I remember making, I didn't have a CD player in my car. So all I had was a tape player, but my dad had a bunch of CDs. So I'd record some of his CDs onto tapes.
Oh, wow.
You know, and just like the songs that I liked. So I remember having four or five Little River Band songs on a tape. And then maybe some Steve Miller had a bunch of like late 70s, early 80s stuff, that kind of thing. So I remember driving around in my 1985 Mercury Cougar and listening to Little River Band and Billy Joel. And that kind of thing.
How would you describe their music?
I would say that they're, you know, kind of a pop rock. You know,
pop? Are you sure? Yeah. Let's do soft rock.
No, because soft rock, I think more of like Air Supply. And they're a little bit, to me, they're a little bit pop rocky. They're adult contemporary for sure, right? They've got an adult contemporary sound. But to me, they're a little bit more poppy, maybe, than Air Supply. But they're not pop rock like Huey Lewis.
Right.
Right? They're just kind of like soft pop rock, I guess. If I had to just kind of glom them all in together, it would be soft pop rock.
So over the years, Little River Band experienced many lineup changes. So I'm not going to go through and name to you like the band members because it's mm-hmm. changed a lot over the years. Despite these changes, they continue to release new music and tour extensively. So their legacy includes multiple platinum albums, chart-topping singles, and a lasting impact on the soft rock and pop rock genres.
So I'm just going to throw out a few Little River Band songs and see if you recognize them. Reminiscing. Now that is super yes. soft rock yes. and like makes me want to. No, that makes me want to jump out this window right yes. now if I heard Reminiscing. Lady. I have played you Lady and you actually like Lady. Okay,
sure.
Lonesome Loser.
I like Lonesome Loser.
Okay, Lonesome Loser is pretty cool. Cool Change.
I don't know that song.
Yeah, you don't want to. The Night Owls.
Don't know it.
You do know it.
Mm. Do I like it?
You may or may not like it. And then obviously Man on Your Mind.
Right.
So that was the song that we just played, Man on Your Mind. It was the second single released on the album Time Exposure, 1982. It peaked on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 at number 14. See, so Little River Band peaks higher than AC/DC on the pop charts.
I mean, that's wrong.
Right. I believe that most people would agree with you. But the pop charts aren't about the mainstream rock, right? They're yeah. more about, you know, what they can play on the radio and what, you know, a variety of people would like. Peaked at number 2 in Australia.
Okay.
Didn't do so well in the UK as it hit 53. It ended the US Billboard year-end charts in 1982 at number 92. So it actually was a top 100 song for the year 1982.
I mean, that's about where it needs to be.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's a top 100 song, though.
It could fall, and you know, nine more spots. Be okay.
If it fell to 101 and didn't make the chart, is that what you're saying? Oh. So is that your favorite Man on Your Mind?
My favorite Little River Band song is Lonesome Loser.
He gets beaten by the Queen of Hearts every time.
What's yours?
Lady. All right. So moving on from Little River Band, let's get to a band that really kind of ruled the airwaves during the early to mid 80s.
I gotcha. Hold on. Do you come from a land down under? A women glow and men blunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run. You better take cover. That is Down Under Men at Work.
Yes. So, which may have been the first time that I heard the term Down Under to refer to Australia.
Men at Work was an Australian rock band formed in 1978. Their music is often classified as new wave, rock, and pop rock. They're known for their catchy melodies, clever lyrics, and distinctive use of instruments like the flute and saxophone.
I loved Men at Work. They had fantastic videos in the early 80s.
Right?
Right? Their videos were always on MTV. And they're right. They did have catchy melodies. Their debut album, Business as Usual, had hit singles like Who Can It Be Now, Down Under, which each topped the charts in multiple countries. They had Overkill, which they would end up, Colin Hay would end up coming back in Scrubs and playing it acoustically, which is a really cool acoustic version.
It's so good.
Overkill's a great song in and of itself, but him playing it acoustically was really cool.
Stop. If you've not heard it, stop right now. We'll wait for you. Go Google it, and we'll be here when you get back.
They also had a song called It's a Mistake, and the video was of, you know, a politician accidentally pushing the nuclear arms button to start a nuclear war, singing It's a Mistake. They also had a clever one called Dr. Heckle and Mr. Jive.
No way I could have said that.
Yes. So I loved their videos and their catchy tunes in the early to mid 80s. Men at Work was one of my favorite. I wouldn't say it was one of my favorite bands, but it was truly one of my favorite bands to listen to, even though I probably didn't recognize it at the time.
Right. So Down Under was the second single released on their album, Business as Usual. It peaked on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 charts at number one.
Yes.
Okay, so you're not the only one that liked them. Australian charts, it peaked at number one. And the U.K. chart, it also peaked at number one. As well as New Zealand as well.
A bunch of them. Canada, Ireland, Netherlands, Switzerland, Belgium, Sweden.
I mean, apparently everybody was loving Men at Work.
Yes.
Finished 1983 as the fourth biggest song in the U.S., but in Australia, where it hit the airwaves a full year before it did in the States, it finished 1981 as the 88th biggest song in Australia. And finished 1982 as the 24th biggest song in Australia.
So they liked it down under.
They liked it down under. So certified platinum in the U.S.
Of course. It can't be that big. It also won a Grammy.
Yep.
For Best New Artist. Down Under won Men at Work a Grammy for Best New Artist in 1983. So I got a... What is your favorite Men at Work song?
Who Can It Be Now?
Is it Who Can It Be Now? Mine is probably Down Under with Overkill, a very close second, mm-hmm. and Who Can It Be Now, probably a very close third. But funny story, we used to, I've mentioned my friend Jason on this show many times, and we used to work together, and Jason was in a position of authority, and I wasn't. And we had this software that kept going out, and it wouldn't sync with our work software, even though it was supposed to. So you would make notes in there, and then they would disappear. And then you'd have to make the notes again.
Oh, that's maddening.
It was so maddening that I wrote a Who Can It Be Now parody called Where Can They Be Now and sent it to Jason about how our notes were thing. And it was dead on to Who Can It Be Now. And he was so angry. And I remember his response back to me, because I had copied several people in the department. His response back to me was, maybe you could be a supporter rather than a jokester.
That's funny. I had forgotten that you did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could actually probably have a second career as a parody writer.
I think that I would be limited. I could probably do it for about 8 to 10 songs.
And then that would be it?
Yeah, I would be a one-hit wonder.
Well, I mean, you're no Weird Al.
No. No one is.
Yeah.
So. Even though a lot of people try to be, they're not. All right, so we're moving on from...
I don't know how I feel about this next
Men at Work to a definite one-hit wonder, at least here in the States.
Kylie Minogue. My little baby says I can do it with me. It's easier than letting your baby see. So come on, do the love emotion with me. You gotta swing your hips now. Come on, baby. Jump back. So that is Locomotion. Obviously, I just said Kylie Minogue.
That is a cover.
It is a cover.
So did you like that song in 1987 when you heard it?
I absolutely love this song. I don't know if you remember The Cosby Show. I know I'm breaking my own rule but talking about The Cosby Show. One season, Vanessa and her little friends, they formed a group. I don't remember all the details, but I think that they like sang and danced to Locomotion.
Mm-hmm.
Does that ring a bell with you at all?
No, it doesn't.
Well, I hope I'm not just making this
up. No, I don't think you're making it up. There were a lot of Cosby Show episodes, and I saw a lot of them, but I certainly didn't see all of them.
But that made me love the song even more. And they had on really cool outfits, and I wanted their outfits. And so that's what comes to my mind when I hear
So you said
song.
It was Vanessa, right? Vanessa with a V. And then they had Sandra as the oldest girl with an S.
Yeah.
Right? And then they probably got Winnie Cooper together, and they had a girls group, and they called them SWV.
Oh, my gosh. I wondered where you were going with that. Okay. Kylie Minogue is an Australian singer, songwriter, and actress. She was born May 28, 1968, in Melbourne, Australia. Her music career started in the late 1980s when she signed with Mushroom Records and released her debut single, Locomotion, in 1987. The song became a massive hit in Australia and internationally.
So sadly to say, this is the only Kylie Minogue song that I know.
It's the only one I know too, but I thought she was popular in like the early 2000s.
She did. She did release another song
what
in the early 2000s.
What was it?
I don't remember, but if I heard it, I would tell you, yes, that's Kylie Minogue. And I bet we've got some pop culture people out there that listen to us that will tell us right away,
somebody
as soon as they
to.
Listen to this, what her other big hit was here in the States in the early 2000s. But I don't know a whole lot about Kylie Minogue other than I liked the song in 1987. I thought it was a fantastic song. I remember either talking about it or singing it or playing it, thinking it was a new song, and my dad going, no.
Yeah.
You know, in the 1970s, Grand Funk Railroad,
yep,
you know, had a hit with this song. And, well, it turns out that before Grand Funk Railroad had a hit with the song, Little Eva had a hit with this song in 1962. Little Eva, Grand Funk Railroad, and Kylie Minogue all had top five hits with Locomotion. So why don't you give us the deets on that song?
It was the first single released on the album Kylie, reached number 3 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 charts, reached number 1 on the Australian charts, number 2 on the UK charts, and then number 1 as well on the New Zealand chart.
Yeah, so big hit. I'm pretty sure it was internationally number 1 in a lot of places.
It was number 1 in Ireland, Netherlands, Belgium, Sweden, and our favorite place, Finland.
You know why it's our favorite place?
Why?
That's where they created the sauna.
There you go.
So it's funny that it was a huge hit in the Scandinavian countries.
I know. I wonder why.
It was a huge hit everywhere, but the Scandinavian countries, you don't see that a lot on our list. So
it finished 1988 as the 49th biggest hit in the U.S., but it finished 1987 as the number one song in Australia.
So needless to say, down under, they love themselves the hometown girl, Kylie Minogue.
Yes. Yeah. So I know what you're going to say.
Is this your favorite Kylie Minogue song?
I don't know. I guess. Is it? Maybe. I don't know.
Well, if you don't know anymore, I would say it's your favorite.
Yeah.
If you can't remember the one from 2001, then it must not have been that
What's
good.
What's wrong with me? That was 2001 should be in my wheelhouse.
Was that your heyday?
And I'm over here like, I don't know. I've slept a few nights since then.
It's called old age.
Yeah. It sucks. Okay, that brings us now to
I bet this is your favorite Australian artist,
yep,
isn't it?
Yep. Jesse's girl, Rick Springfield.
Jesse's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching with those eyes. And she's loving with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late at night.
Okay, so
I mean, it doesn't get any better than this.
I have to say that that's probably one of the 10 greatest songs of the 80s.
Yes. So let me tell you this. Well, this is funny. I don't know why, but it is. Rick Springfield was born Richard Lewis Springthorpe.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
I don't know. I don't know how to handle that.
He was born on August 23rd, 1949 in Sydney. I mean,
he's going to be 75 this year.
He's getting on up there.
He's going to be 75. I'm not okay in a world where Rick Springfield is 75.
So his music career began in the late 1960s, and he gained initial success in Australia as a member of the pop rock group Zoot. He later ventured into a solo career and released his debut album, Beginnings, in 1972.
But when did he reach his commercial success here in the States?
He achieved international fame in the early 1980s with his hit single, Jessie's Girl, from the album Working Class Dog, which was released in 1981.
Now, that's funny that's Working Class Dog, because he is the working class DJ the 80s on 8, so...
So the song topped the charts and earned him a Grammy Award for Best Male Rock Vocal Performance.
So here's some other songs by Rick Springfield. Let me know if you've heard of them and or you like them. Obviously, there's Jessie's Girl. What about I've Done Everything for You?
I love it.
Don't Talk to Strangers.
Do I know that?
You do.
Do I like it?
Probably.
Okay.
Affair of the Heart. You would know that, too, if you heard it, but it's just okay. Eh. And then Love Somebody,
I love Love Somebody.
Yes. So his music resonated with audiences, you know, obviously all over the world. A big radio hit, even some videos on MTV. And then he's just been touring forever.
But, okay, but don't forget.
Yeah, I know.
He also gained widespread recognition for his portrayal of Dr. Noah Drake on the soap opera General Hospital. He's also appeared on various TV shows and films over the years.
Yes. So do you think that's where they got Dr. Yes. Drake Ramore
yes,
from
totally,
for Friends?
Totally. Oh.
So Jessie's Girl, as previously mentioned, was released on Working Class Dog. It's the first single, 1981. It topped the charts here in the U.S. as well as Australia, where he is from, and New Zealand. Also topped the charts in Canada. Finished 1981 as the fifth biggest song in the United States and 15th biggest song in Australia. So it's actually bigger here in the States than it was in Australia for the year. It's obviously certified gold here in the United States, but it is number 186 on the all-time US Billboard Hot 100.
I'm going to argue that's not high enough.
Maybe.
I mean, 186?
186 seems maybe a little low, but you know, I'd like to see the 185 above it. You know, there are songs that was number one for 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks in a row. Yeah. Jessie's Girl wasn't, although I would put Jessie's Girl up against any of those songs that were number one for 8, 9, 10. But, you know, I know I Love Rock and Roll was number one for many, many weeks. And our next artist had a song that was number one for 8, 9, 10 weeks. Yeah. So, I mean, 186, it sounds about right, even though in my opinion, it's too low.
Okay. Whatever you say, you the boss.
I'm not saying that it's the 186th best song. I'm just saying as far as like time spent on the charts and the way they do the rankings, 186 is probably pretty close. Okay, so let's get to our next artist.
No. No, no, no.
We're not leaving Rick Springfield
yet?
You're
going to ask me, is this my favorite?
Well, yeah, it is your favorite Rick Springfield song.
Okay. And then we're going to talk about, does this bring up any memories? Do you have any personal anecdotes?
Oh, go for it.
Do you remember, I think it was on one of our many, many, many drives to Orlando, listening to his show. So we would have, gone down on a Saturday and come back on a Saturday?
Probably.
And I want to say we heard the same show twice.
Well, you would hear his song on Friday night and then on Saturday.
That's maybe what it was. And something was going on with him or with his microphone or with his studio. And every time he took a breath, yeah.
Every time he talked.
It sounded like, I mean, it sounded like that. I'm trying to, it was almost like he was on like a ventilator or something.
Yes, I was a little worried, concerned for his health.
Emmy was like, totally, we were all giggling, but she was totally taken with it. She's a big Rick Springfield fan. Oh,
yes.
Fan.
Yes. She knows every word of Jesse's Girl.
She loves Rick Springfield and she loves Jesse's Girl.
In fact, I
just remember her in the back seat, like giggling. And in every break when he spoke, do it again. I can't do that.
He spoke like this. And then he said this.
Yeah, it was like these really long, big, exaggerated drags.
You know what? I think he had his Darth Vader mask on.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
So I remember getting a text. Emmy spent the weekend with my aunt and uncle, and she was about 6 or 7 years old. And all of a sudden, I get a text from my aunt saying, "We're driving in the car, and your daughter is singing every single word to Jesse's Girl. Thank you for raising her right."
Yeah. We're doing something right.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now that's all. Now we can move on.
Okay, now let's move on to I would say Rick Springfield's my personal favorite, but 8-year-old Jim, there was nobody better than Miss Olivia Newton-John. Mm-mm. Won't you spare me all the charms and take me in your arms? I can't wait. I know I'm your one. It's all I want to be. So come on, baby, let's move on me. Got nowhere to go. All my time is free. So come on, baby, let's move on me. Now. Make a move on me. No, thank you. Yes.
I will pass.
I did not choose physical because everybody knows physical. It's, if not the most popular song in the 1980s, it's top three. So I chose one that was a little bit of a lesser known hit that some people may not have heard in a while, and this may bring up memories for them.
Olivia Newton-John was born on September 26, 1948 in Cambridge, England, and raised in Melbourne, Australia. So her music career began in the 1960s when she started performing in clubs and on TV shows in Australia. She released her debut album, If Not For You, in 1971, which marked the beginning of her successful music journey.
Now, did you know that she started out as a country?
Yes, of course I did.
Singer.
Yes.
Not my favorite Olivia Newton-John era, the country era.
Right.
She had 1970s hits like I Honestly Love You. Horrible. Have You Never Been Mellow? No, I haven't. And Please, Mr. Please. But it was her album Physical in 1981, which brought her massive success and made her an icon all over the world.
So apart from Physical, she released other iconic songs such as Magic, Xanadu, Hopelessly Devoted to You, Summer Nights with John Travolta,
yes,
and Let Me Be There.
So Xanadu is with ELO.
Yes.
The great Jeff Lynne.
In addition to her music career, Olivia Newton-John is known for her acting roles as well. Like, she was in Grease, obviously, 1978, opposite John Travolta.
Sandy!
What I think of when I think of Olivia Newton-John is her cancer battle.
Mm-hmm.
And how she fought and won for quite some time, but ultimately we lost her in 2022, I think.
Yeah, sad stuff.
So
her song "Make a Move on Me" was the second single released on her album Physical. It peaked at number 5 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, peaked at 11 in Australia, 7 in the U.K., and 5 in New Zealand. It finished 1982 as the 84th biggest song in the U.S. and the 84th biggest song in Australia. Certified gold here in the United States. Is this your favorite Olivia Newton-John song?
Not even my top 10. My favorite is Magic.
Magic is a good one.
Uh-huh.
I like Magic. This is my favorite.
I guess that's why you picked it.
Yes. Huh? Yes.
Okay.
It's my favorite.
Okay.
Physical's a good song.
Let's get physical.
Iconic video, but I'm going with Make a Move on Me.
Did she say something about let me see your money talk?
No.
I want to see your money talk.
That's what you thought she said.
What does she say?
Let me hear your body talk.
That's hysterical. Okay. There's another episode we should do of misheard lyrics.
Yes. No. We plan on doing that. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Some of the funniest misheard lyrics of all time. All right. So now we're going to move on to another group from Miss... Is she Newton-John? Is she just John? Miss Olivia? We're going to move on from her to a group that I don't know a whole lot about other than the one song that we're going to play that I just absolutely love this song.
I love this song too.
So why don't you go ahead and play it?
That is Electric Blue by Ice House.
Yes. Great song. Great song.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's one of those songs that I don't think, I mean, I'm sure everybody recognizes it, but I don't think it comes to the top of mind when people are like, hey, what's your favorite like mid-80s song? Or what are some of your favorite mid-80s songs? I don't think top of mind somebody goes, you know what? I really like the Electric Blue by Ice House.
No.
But I guarantee you when they hear it, they're like, oh yeah, this song's pretty awesome.
That's a good song.
Yes.
Did you know that the band was originally known as Flowers, but changed their name to Ice House in 1981?
Ice House is a much better name than Flowers for a band. So, what kind of style do you think they are with that song? You hear Electric Blue.
I mean, a little bit of rock, a little bit of... I don't know. Maybe new wave.
Yeah, I would think so. Pop rocky, new wavy kind of sound. Yeah, but it's catchy, 100% catchy.
So Ice House gained commercial success both in Australia and internationally with their self-titled album Ice House from 1980, which included hit singles like "Hey Little Girl." Have you ever heard of it?
No, but it always creeps me out when people say little girl in the 80s.
Oh, I know. I agree.
38 Special, Caught Up in You, Little Girl.
Great Southern Land. No, got nothing. Okay, from their fall...
Are you sure you're talking about Ice House and not Lynyrd Skynyrd?
We can go back a few groups and revisit when I said Little River Band was like Lynyrd Skynyrd. Yes. Okay, I lost where I was. Okay. Their follow-up albums such as Primitive Man and Man of Colors further solidified their success.
Right.
Man, oh man, oh man.
Great Southern Land. We're off the rails here, folks.
Okay.
So, this, I don't really know a whole lot about Ice House, but I'll tell you about Electric Blue. That song came out when I was in like 7th or 8th grade.
For the best.
Right?
Yep.
7th or 8th grade. First single released on their album, Man of Colors. Hit the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, peaked at number 7. It was a number 1 hit in their home country of Australia. 3 in New Zealand, 13 in the UK. Finished 1988 as the 77th biggest song in the U.S. and the 8th biggest in Australia. So much bigger in Australia. I feel like 77's probably about right for the airplay, but I promise you that if you go back and listen to songs from 1987 or early 1988, that you won't find 76 better songs than Electric Blue.
I agree.
So this song ended up certified gold in the U.S. I don't have to ask you if this is your favorite song by Ice House.
It's the only one I know.
Because I know it's the only one that you know. And we are going to move on quickly from Ice House to another house.
To a very crowded house.
There's a battle ahead. Many battles are lost, but you'll never see the end of the road while you're traveling.
That's Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House.
Another great 80s song by an Australian band.
Crowded House gained international success with her self-titled debut album, Crowded House, in 1986, which included hit singles like Don't Dream It's Over and Something So Strong.
Both good songs.
The album achieved critical acclaim and commercial success, establishing the band as a prominent act.
Yes. Something So Strong could carry us away. Don't Dream It's Over, great song. I remember somebody singing it at a karaoke bar, and they were doing a good job, but I remember looking at the lyrics and thinking, what the heck is this song about?
So Crowded House disbanded in 1996. Did you know that?
I did not.
But they reunited in the 2000s for various projects and tours. They released new albums and continued to perform live, reaffirming their status as a beloved band.
I like their debut album. I like Something So Strong, and I like Don't Dream It's Over. Don't Dream It's Over was the first single released from it. It peaked here in the U.S. at number 2, which is actually higher than it was in their homeland of Australia, where it peaked at number 8. It was a number 1 hit in New Zealand, as well as Ireland. Finished 1987 as the 13th biggest song here in the U.S. Can you believe that? And the 54th biggest song in Australia. It was certified gold here in the U.S. So it finished as the 13th biggest song in 87. Electric Blue, also released in 87, finished as what? Like, what'd I say? Like the 76th yep. biggest song in 88? Yep. Which song's better?
Oh, Electric Blue.
I think so. I like it better. I don't know if it's better, but in my personal opinion, I like it better. Don't Dream It's Over is still a good, catchy song. But, yeah, I think I'm going to go with Electric Blue on that one.
Yeah, me too.
So, I've got something for you.
Oh, really?
I said, what the heck is this song about?
Yeah.
I've got a little background for you. It's an alternative rock ballad with introspective lyrics that reflect on resilience and hope in the face of adversity.
Well, I need that.
The song's title serves as a reminder to stay grounded and not lose sight of one's dreams despite challenges or setbacks.
I think this is the only song that I know of that uses the word deluge.
Yes. In a paper cup.
Oh.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Deluge. Okay, are we ready?
Are we ready for our last band?
Oh, man, I hate ending on a bad note.
Actually, this is not our last
band. Oh, good.
We've got one more after this. I was going to say last and certainly least.
Okay, well.
Although that might tick off some Aussies, so okay. I don't want to say they're certainly least. This is my least favorite band. I mean, no disrespect for those of you.
I still like the song.
That like Midnight Oil.
The time has come. A fact's a fact. It belongs to them. Let's give it back.
So, Beds Are Burning, Midnight Oil.
That's a great beginning. You may not like the song, but that beginning's that's a cool beginning. That's a good
beginning, yeah. But I don't like the song. Okay, so Midnight Oil is an Australian rock band formed in Sydney in 1972. Their music is often classified as rock, punk rock, and alternative rock. You think you like that? You think that's
That sounds about right.
Yep. Midnight Oil gained international recognition in the 1980s and 1990s with albums like Diesel and Dust from 87 and Blue Sky Mining from 1990. What are some other Midnight Oil songs?
So, obviously, Beds Are Burning is the one that most people know. It's the one that I really know. Blue Sky Mine, The Dead Heart, and Forgotten Years.
That was you when I met you.
What, The Dead Heart? Uh-huh. Well, now I'm Forgotten Years.
Yes. Midnight Oil is renowned for their activism and advocacy on social and environmental issues.
Yes.
So their songs often address topics such as indigenous rights, environmental conservation, and social justice, earning them a reputation as a socially conscious band.
Yes. So I know that you're not a big Midnight Oil fan. I'm not a huge Midnight Oil fan. I know that you don't really like this song, but I kind of like this song.
Okay.
How can we dance while the earth is turning? How can we sleep while our beds are burning? Ironically enough, there's an entire, like, 4 to 5 minute video. Not a single bed burning in the whole video.
What the
How
what?
Do you have a song called Beds Are Burning and not show a burning bed in the video? So, as you mentioned, this song was released on their album Diesel and Dust in 1987. It peaked here in the U.S. at number 17. So this song peaked higher than AC/DC's You Shook
That's
Me All Night.
That's not
long.
Right.
I would agree with that. I remember the song more from MTV than I do from the radio.
Really?
This was a number one hit in Australia, as well as New Zealand. It also peaked pretty high in UK at number 6. Only one other place I could find did it hit number 1, and that is in Norway.
Norway!
So it did not chart on the 87 or 88 year-end charts here in the U.S., but finished 87 as the 21st biggest song in Australia. So the Aussies, they love this song.
Okay.
Maybe I should visit Australia. I like this song, yeah, too. This song was certified gold in the U.S. And you had mentioned about them being a socially conscious band. This song is a politically charged song that addresses the issues of indigenous land rights and social injustice in Australia. The song specifically focuses on the dispossession of indigenous Australians, which I believe they call Aborigines.
Oh, wow.
From their lands, and calls for reconciliation and restitution.
I can support that.
It is one of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's 500 songs that shaped rock and roll, and it was named number 95 on VH1's 100 Greatest One-Hit Wonders of the 80s. So that is all the info I have on Midnight Oil, Beds Are Burning.
Is this your favorite Midnight Oil song?
Yes. Is it yours?
No.
Do you have one?
No. Oh. Okay, all right. let's get on out of here, move on to the next one.
Let's get on here to one of your favorite 80s songs. Not one of your favorite 80s groups, but one of your favorite 80s songs is next. So why don't you hit the music?
Funky Town, Pseudo Echo.
I want to go to Funky Town. I want to go to Party Town with Glenn Frey. Not anymore. He's in a different party town than I'm thinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to go to Funky Town. I want to go to Party Town. I want to go experience life in a northern town.
Let me tell you where I want to go. Sleepy Town. So when Emmy was a baby, I would sing this song to her, only I changed it and made it
Sleepy Town instead of Funky Town.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's why I love this song so much. It takes me back to little baby Emmy.
Yes. So I'll let you talk about the song, but I'll talk a little bit about the band. Pseudo Echo is an Australian new wave band formed in Melbourne in 1982. A lot of bands formed in Melbourne. Yeah. I know it's one of their biggest cities, but a lot of bands formed there. They are, like I said, new wave, synth pop, a little bit of rock, known definitely for their use of synthesizers, which I know is one of your favorite.
Oh, I love me some synthesizers.
Dance music, for sure. They got some danceable music here, especially with Funky Town. They gained commercial success with their debut album, Autumnal Park, which included the hit single Listening. And then, in 1987, they released Funky Town, which is a cover of the Lips Inc. song from 1980 that was also a big giant hit here in the States.
So, Funky Town was the second single from the album Love and Adventure from, again, we said already, I think 1987. It peaked at number 6 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 chart, number 1 in Australia, number 8 on the U.K. Chart, and number 6 on the New Zealand chart. It did pretty good as well in Germany, hit number 2 in Germany, so...
They had a lot of things going on in 87 in Germany, too. So.
They sure did. So if you can reach number 2 in Germany in 1987, that might be saying something. So finished 1987 as the 99th biggest hit in the U.S. and the 93rd biggest hit in Australia. It is certified gold in the U.S.
Yeah, so I remember when that song came out. I didn't realize it was a cover. I had never heard the 1980s Lips Inc. version of right? Funky Town. Just kind of a disco-y hit. They took it and kept kind of the same beat, but went with synthesizers, and it no longer sounded like a disco song.
I think I might be a little frustrated with you for making that our last song, because this is going to be stuck in my head now the rest of the night.
That is awesome.
Well, this was fun.
Yeah, of course. It's always fun.
I've enjoyed it.
Did you learn a lot about the Australian invasion of the 1980s?
I did.
They invaded our land and hit us with a wide variety of music from new wave to synth to pop to rock to dance rock. And even the nights are better with Australian music.
Okay, so we would love to hear from you. If you liked us, we would really appreciate a review. Subscribe.
We would appreciate a 5-star rating more so than a review. But
that's what I meant.
If you can do both, that would be great too.
Please leave us a 5-star review. It helps with the algorithm for other listeners to find our podcast. We are on what? Instagram, Facebook, X, and Threads.
Yes.
Follow us, please, on all 4 social media platforms.
We will reply to whatever you have to say to us.
Good, bad, or ugly.
Yes. So, come join us next week for a special Mother's Day episode.
Is it Mother's Day already?
It will be. We will be counting down our favorite TV moms from the 80s. Just like we did dads last year for Father's Day, we're doing moms this year for Mother's Day.
And we're coming up on an anniversary.
We are. Or we will have started this podcast a year ago, beginning late May. I don't remember the exact date
of our first release.
But yeah, we will... We're coming up on that. We'll have some...
Cake and ice cream?
Yeah. We're not doing anything special. It's cake just going to be a year. And we're gonna share cake and ice cream with all of our listeners.
Okay.
Until next time.
I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Jim.
And we are...
Children of the 80s.